Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Welcome back, dear ones. Today's episode may leave your jaw on the floor and you may shake your head and say, I can't believe this is possible. I know, because that's exactly how I felt. Today, we are going to be talking to Corey Pennypacker of Bible to School, an organization that is teaching public school children the Bible. We talk about the need for all children to be exposed to the Word of God and to hear truth. If you're already a Moms in Prayer mom, then I bet you're praying that truth would be taught and that children will come to know Christ. I can't wait for you to hear how that prayer is being answered. Speaking of prayers answered, by the time you listen to this, we will have reached 20,000 downloads of the Moms in Prayer podcast. That is amazing. Amazing. Will you help us reach the next 20,000 by sharing your love for our podcast? It's easy to find the Moms in Prayer International social media posts with quotes from your favorite interviews and click and share. Don't forget, we love your reviews and your prayers that this podcast and Moms in Prayer will march closer to our goal of every school in the world covered in prayer. Without further ado, listen in to my conversation with Corey Pennypacker of Bible to School. Well, hey, Corey, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you, Lee. Glad to be here.
It's so fun to get to know new friends, and you are certainly among those that I've wanted to get to know. So tell us a little bit about you and about your family.
Sure. I am from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Amish country area, farmlands, lovely place. And I'm married of 28 years. I'm a former Navy wife, and I have three boys. They're a 24-year-old who is an electrical engineer. I have a 22-year-old who is living in the Pittsburgh area, just got his first new job there. And then I have an 18-year-old who's a senior in high school and playing lots of soccer right now.
Oh, my three sons. That's fun. Boy mom.
That's right. A serious boy mom. Yes. I can't wait for the girls to come soon.
I had the opportunity to be at an Iron Sharpens Iron event in Pennsylvania last year, and I was just struck by how rich Pennsylvania is in the history that it has in the United States. Such a cool place to live.
It is. That's why we chose it, to kind of settle down here. It was wonderful.
It is beautiful. So, Corey, you are with Bible to School. Can you tell me a little bit about Bible to School and how your organization began?
Sure. Bible to School is a nonprofit organization that began really with a ministerium. Pastors came together in 1979 and said, we want to take advantage of something called the release time law. And the release time law says that you can release children from school, public school children from school, and teach them the Bible or teach them spiritual training of their choice. Ours is the Bible. It could be Muslim or it could be Jewish, but you could teach them to have spiritual training during the school day. So it's legal to do that. The three requirements of it's a national law in every state, is you have to be off-site, you have to have parental permission, and it cannot cost the taxpayers any money. So you stay within those three, and in each state, there might be a couple little variations that they add on, but that's the main gist of it. And so Bible to School has been doing this since 1979, taking second, third, and fourth graders in the elementary areas off site and teaching the Bible during their lunch and recess. And it's been highly successful. It's been amazing.
Tell me what that looks like then. So in a class, they leave school and then what happens?
The relationships start right away. We pick them up at school, and the volunteers are absolutely amazing. And they start with, hey, how was your week? I know we were praying for your grandmother last week. How's she doing? So in the transportation of the kids, we only get an hour, and that includes travel time. So we get them, and then they come with their lunches. They actually bring their lunches with them. And we go offsite to a church or to a youth center or something very nearby. And then we sit at tables, and they teach the large group lesson, and the papers are crinkling and the kids are kind of moving around, and they are listening. And you moms out there know that the kids can multitask. So they're eating their lunches, and we do very interactive lessons. They act out Bible stories. We do experiments, science experiments. With Jonah and the whale, we have a 30-foot blow-up whale that the whole class goes inside of to learn about Jonah. So they go inside the belly of a whale.
Oh, that's learn about so Jonah. Fun.
I know. They remember that one. And then after that, they break into small groups, and that's the real meat of it right there. It's, you know, hey, what was the name of the giant? It was Goliath, but hey, have you ever been afraid? Do you think God's bigger than that? And so we ask really relevant relational questions about scripture, and kids really, really grab onto that. And then we do a worship song, and some kids don't know how to worship. They don't know what it's like to sing to God. So we teach them that, and then we take them back, and it's pretty fast, but it's incredibly impactful. So that's what we do.
And so is that 5 days a week?
That's a good question. That's once a week, 1 hour a week. Currently, that last year, we had almost 700 children we did weekly. But the kicker is that it's almost 50% of them had no church affiliation.
Wow.
We're hitting kids that do not attend church. And you probably know this already, but going to church is not in right now in our culture. It is something that probably, I've heard 60, I've heard 70, I heard 80% of the country doesn't go to church. And so what that means for kids is that they're not hearing it. They don't have the information, or they have misinformation. We have one little girl, we asked her, tell us what you think heaven is. And she said, well, it's like jail.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're getting all kinds of answers. But we started in just one small school. And we branched out about 10 years ago, 8 or 10 years ago, we decided that we're going to try it in another school district because we were so successful in one. There was a little boy, Gabriel, that was there in one of our programs, and he had accepted Christ as his savior that day through one of the lessons. And I said, Gabriel, tell me more about that. And he said, something I'll never forget. He said, I've always wanted to know how to get to heaven, but no one's ever told me. And I thought, wow, he lives 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes from my house. And these kids want to know all about stuff, about spiritual things.
Yeah. And I imagine that your heart has been moved over and over again as you've met these kids. But specifically, what grew your heart for this program? How did you decide to get involved, Corey?
Well, my background is that I was a children's ministry director at a large church here in Pennsylvania. And if you have moms out there that are involved in church, you know, kids come and it's just amazing on Sunday morning. But this really intrigued me that we actually go to the kids and teach them about God. So all the kids that their parents don't bring them, we get to go. So that really impacted me. And the fact that the parents sign their kids up who don't go to church really intrigued me too. And the Christian kids come and they invite their friends. And I think this really teaches the Christian kids how to even talk about God to their friends. I had a little boy named Colson. The mother came up to me and was crying and said, you're not going to believe what happened. But Colson was on the school bus on a field trip, and his buddy, who had invited to go to Bible school with him, said, hey, Colson, I'm just bugging him. He said, what do you want? He said, hey, you know how we go to Bible school and we talk about, you know, asking Jesus to be, you know, in our heart? He goes, I want to do that. Can you help me? And so on a field trip, he led the students leading students to Christ. And I thought, yeah, I got to be a part of that. I really do.
Oh, this is an amazing program. And I'm aware that we have listeners from around the world that are listening in on this conversation. So right now you have groups in America, but what is your vision for Bible to School ultimately? What would you like to see God do and accomplish?
I would love to see a Bible to School program in every school in our country. But if that spills out into other countries, I am all for that. To me, that's icing on the cake. So we would love to equip communities to do this, because Lee, like I told you, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this. You have to get transportation, and you need a location. You need volunteers who are free in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, which isn't all that easy too. You need funding. There's a lot of things, moving parts. So it takes a whole community to do this. And wherever that community is, if it's in America or anywhere else, children need us. They need us to be teaching them and educating them who God is, because they don't know. They just don't know.
No, we live in a really biblically illiterate society, especially at a kid level, where even just the fundamentals that we take for granted, what Christmas is, what Easter is, that there were 12 disciples, all those things that we in the past were able to say, of course, you know, we are starting at a brand new foundation with this generation, aren't we?
Absolutely. In fact, this year at Bible School, it was our first year where we had an entire class that did not attend church, the whole class. When they hit, I talked about Jesus for the very first time, but when they hit Christmas, just like you said, none of them knew any Christmas carols. And it kind of took the volunteers back, like, oh my goodness. But by the end of the year, we had a Bible Jeopardy game, and those kids knew the answers. So it was very, very cool to be able to be a part of that. One thing I do want to say too is that there's an anxiety level with children nowadays. There's so much information coming at them that they don't even know what to do with it. And we've even had educators tell us this, that having a religious program in their school is helpful because it brings anxiety levels down, because kids want to know three things. They want to know, where did I come from? What's my purpose? And what happens after I die? And the Bible answers those questions. I had a group who was doing Esther. So we were acting out Esther in the front, and we went back into small group, and I said, what's something you guys don't know about Esther? And the little girl said, well, her parents died. And another little boy raised his hand and said, well, my grandfather was killed. And another one said, well, my dad died when I was young. And so one by one, these little expectant faces were looking at me because they wanted to talk about what happened. You know, they were hopeful, like, what happens? And so I was able to tell them, God's got that. It's okay. Relax. He does. He has conquered death and through his son, Jesus Christ.
That's amazing. Is this realistic that every school in America could have a Bible school program? Is this, I mean, obviously it's legal or you wouldn't be doing it, but there's some communities that almost seem antagonistic to the gospel. So how does that work?
I believe it can be, because there are all kinds of people who say this is a good thing. You know, they might not be antagonistic. There's really the 10% or whatever that are, but they can come together and say, this is a good thing for kids. We see good things. We've had school administrators tell us that their grades go up. I mean, I'm not, no lie, that there's studies been shown that happens. So we feel that this can, when approached the right way, not as, hey, we're muscling in, this is our legal right to do this. No, we want to come in as partners with the school. The school has so much that they're dealing with. They've got, you know, anything from autism to obesity that they're dealing with. So this is something we could take off their plate and say, once a week, we can talk to them about spiritual things. And we're talking basic Bible stories. We're talking very simple things like God made you, God loves you, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you never have to be alone. And those are simple concepts that just resonate with people saying, I want my kid to know that. So we feel that it is realistic if communities come together and people will get together and teamwork and do this in communities.
Well, it sounds like this requires a bunch of adults that are committed to students and children, really. I mean, adults who are willing to volunteer in this capacity and give time during the week and financial resources and that kind of thing to see Bible to School come into communities. Why is early spiritual training important for kids? Why fight so hard to make this happen?
Kids, developmentally, children develop their morals and their values all before the age of 14. So that's elementary school. So that's where you want to get them. They're sponges and they want to know things and they're really grasping the concepts. I always tell pastors that, man, you guys have a tough job. You got to change people's minds. But we get the kids when they're ready, really open to hearing about God. And we've developed our curriculum. We've developed our whole program around the first time child that never heard anything before about God. And so we feel that that is so important. And we also developed our curriculum and our program age appropriate. And if there's moms out there, you understand age appropriate. If you have all different age kids, you can't do one activity. It doesn't always work that way. So we have second grade Old Testament that we teach in our program, third grade New Testament, and fourth grade discipleship, and all of the different grade levels, because we said, thought that, you know, you don't teach math second through fourth grade, so why not? Why do this? Something as important as this that way? So we've developed this whole program and the way to do it so that we get the most out of those very influential years where their morals and their values are being developed.
Well, we've linked arms with a bunch of organizations at Moms in Prayer that are ministering to the next generation. You know, we pray for kids and schools, and this is our heart too. But recently, Doug Clark said to me, he works with CU at the Pole. He said, 85% of people who come to know the Lord over their lifetime do so before the age of 18. And that was... That was mind-blowing to me. I had to think about that a lot, and I know that my husband and my church family, we're reflecting on what that means for us and where we should focus our attention. But one of the things I did is I poured out 100 blocks on my table at dinner one night and said, all right, let's count out 85 of these. And we slid all the blocks over to one side and we said, okay, out of all of the people that are going to come to know Jesus, all of these are going to do it while they're in their school year. So what does this mean for us as a family? And really, even my kids began to see that they're at the best place to win their friends to the Lord. And I think helping our kids see that and helping other adults realize that these young years are vital. Like, people are the easiest to reach during this time. I'm sure you see it all the time that kids are open and receptive to the gospel.
They absolutely are. We see it every week, but we also see seeds being planted too, Lee. We see kids just getting it. There was a little girl who they were doing the Ten Commandments, and like, she's never heard of the Ten Commandments, you know? And the next week she's told her small group that you know, that whole thing really works. And her small group leader, I was like, what do you mean it really works? And she said, well, this is a little third grader saying, I was at the school store and I saw a pencil and it was a dollar and I didn't have a dollar. So I went home and I went to my mother's bureau and there was a dollar there. And I went and I picked it up and I said, you know what? That's not God's best for me. God doesn't want me to steal. And she put it down, back down on the bureau, and she went and told her mother, and her mother was so excited. She made a wise decision. You know, she gave her the dollar, and then she told the babysitter, and the babysitter gave her a dollar. So she's like, this really works. And we're like, well, it doesn't really work that way. But the wise small group leader said, but these are concepts that kids are getting. The Bible is about God's best for you. And it really is something that there's hope out there for, and there's truth you can grab onto.
Well, I think that probably really benefits not just the kids, but also communities to have children being invested in. And you guys have been doing this long enough now that you probably are seeing communities impacted as well.
Absolutely. Just last month, we were able to launch something called a Bible to School membership. And that is a way for anybody in the country, anybody who wants to become a Bible School member. We help them activate a program in their community. So one such was actually, I mentioned it in the blog, is that it was in Western Pennsylvania. They were starting the program, but 15 years earlier, a Moms in Prayer group had been praying, and this was their prayer. Their prayer was that there would be more of God in the school. And when the mom came to me and said that, it just put chills for me, like, oh my gosh, they've been waiting for this program to get there. Update on that is that they start their program this fall, and they have more kids, they're busting out at the seams, pre-registered, than we've ever had in the history of Bible School. So it is actually working. In the actual communities, though, we do see that people and kids are talking to their friends more and are definitely raising a leadership. I was talking to a group and a church, and one lady raised her hand and said, I was a teacher's aide. I saw the Bible School kids come back. They were more respectful. They were kinder. It was a big difference. That's what we want. We want our little future citizens and future employees and future leaders to have those traits in them, and they're learning it.
I think this is incredible because we at Moms in Prayer often pray that anything that would set itself up against truth or God's will for our kids in schools, that those would be demolished in Jesus' name. And so it's so fun that although some teachers' hands are tied in what they can say and can't say, we're bringing in volunteers and having an elective that are really allowed to teach the Bible.
Yeah, and from what I've talked to some teachers too, Lee, that if the kids come back from Bible to school and they have like a craft or they're saying, this is what I learned today, the teachers are allowed to talk to them about that. It's legal to do that if the kids initiate it. And that's a cool conversation too that I think is happening also.
Yeah, that's powerful. How do you see Moms in Prayer moms linking arms with Bible to School?
Well, Moms in Prayer has already linked arms locally here with Bible to School. We have spoken in their groups and there's many that are volunteering, but the prayer is so, so key. I love your group because, you know, we're trying to equip the church to activate a Bible program in the schools. You know, Satan doesn't want that. We just feel really called that God's saying, I want my children back. I want to reach my children again. And so that's why that prayer is just so key. So we just love you guys to pray for that, but also help us get the word out. Like I said, it's relatively new, this Bible to School membership that is available that we have offered online, just telling people about it. I've been to different parts of Pennsylvania right now telling about it, and people are kind of floored. Like, you can do this? This is legal? This is America and you can do this? And I'm saying, well, we've been doing it for 40 years and now we want to teach you how to do it. That's what we're really excited about, if you can help us pray and help us get the word out.
Corey, that's so cool. It's just so cool. What an awesome ministry. And we totally want to help the word get out about Bible to School and about this, not loophole, but opportunity that churches and moms have to get involved and how Moms in Prayer can help pray this into place in their area. So how can people follow up with you and learn more?
Sure. Well, they can come to our website, which is BibleToSchool.com, which is Bible, the number 2, school.com. And you can contact us and let us know you want to know more. I have to tell you that Moms in Prayer, the moms are the most excited about this program that I know of. Like, I've talked to church pastors, but if you get a mom involved and then you have them putting things in the pastor's ear, things can actually happen. I love high capacity moms. I love it.
I know that Moms in Prayer moms are the ones believing God for the next generation, that God is still working and that He wants to move in the lives of our children and our schools. And it's so fun to get to hear that passion inside of you, Corey, too, where you're actually doing the work of making the Bible engaging and God's truth relevant in our kids' lives. And we just want to say thank you and well done and woohoo. Corey, can you pray for us? I mean, I imagine that there's moms being stirred, whether they're in America or around the world, who are saying, hey, you're right. We got to get kids of all demographics into the Word of God. And she's wondering what she can do. Could you pray specifically for those moms today?
Absolutely. Father God, Lord, I lift up moms around the world. Lord, they have such a heart for you. They're so tuned into you because they want the best for their children, their families. They're the gatekeepers, Lord. And so your blessings need to flow through them and their prayers. And so, Father, I ask that you help them as they reach out into the schools to find ways, outside the box ways, to be able to bring the word of God to their school, their friends, their children's friends. Lord, if you put the word of God out there, it does not come back empty. And so, Lord, we just ask you to be with those moms and give them the resources that they need and the courage that they need and the strength that they need to impact their communities, their schools, wherever they are, because you are in them and you are a big God and you can do big things. And we expect that. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth and the hope that we can count on every day. In your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Corey, it's so great to have you here. Thanks for being on the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Wow. Crazy how God is answering some Pennsylvania Moms in Prayer moms' prayers, huh? Does your heart break for the kids who don't know about Jesus or the truth in His Word? If the answer is no, not really, would you pray like I do that Jesus would give us a heart for lost people? A desire for people to come to know Him and to show you when it's time for you to act on an opportunity He is giving you? Imagine what could happen if we were all praying that. If you want information about Corey, Bible to School, or Moms in Prayer in general, you can find all of that on the Moms in Prayer blog at momsinprayer.org. Corey Pennypacker is just a mom. And moms make the difference, friend. Mom just like you. See you next week.